The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
The New York Nonprofit Press, the industry standard for nonprofits, is a must-read for over 20,000 New York City and state executives. Those who know the nonprofit world count on the NYNP to deliver breaking news and get messages across into the nonprofit industry. Ads can be placed in our paper, daily emails, or on our website. For more information, visit nynp.biz or email publisher at nynp.biz. The New York Nonprofit Press, serving people who serve people.
Good morning. This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is A Nonprofit Voice. Each week we put on a different nonprofit agency and give them an opportunity to talk about where they work and the great people that work there. And I am honored to have one of my favorite clients, Epic Long Island. And I've got Jennifer Colbert, Vice President of Clinic Services, and Shari Lurie, Senior Director of Clinical Services. And it's only fitting that the two of you are on right now, as this is Mental Health Awareness Month. And mental health awareness right now is very big in the news. Why is it so important to you guys?
Well, Ron, I think that it's very important. Mental health awareness is very important, especially now, during the pandemic, when most people have been really struggling with depression, anxiety, and fear. And I think it's important to help people be aware that these feelings are normal and nothing to be afraid of, and what they can do to help themselves and their loved ones.
Well, let's talk about Epic Long Island. You know, I just wanted to introduce the show in a way that, you know, it's mental health awareness, and that's what the actual show is. But let's talk about how Epic got involved, and give me a little bit of a history of Epic Long Island. And since you've been there 24 years versus 17 for Shari, I'll start with Jen.
Okay, Ron. Well, thank you so much for having us on the show. So Epic Long Island and South Shore Child Guidance, which are both members of Epic Family of Human Service Agencies, have both been in on Long Island serving families for about 60 years. Epic Long Island has 18 group homes for developmentally delayed adults throughout the Nassau and Suffolk counties. We also have a day program for developmentally disabled adults in East Meadow. We have a specialty clinic which provides psychiatry, psychotherapy, neurology, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy for individuals with developmental disabilities. About 11 years ago, we opened our first mental health clinic in Garden City, and now we're in East Meadow. And to date, we serve about 600 adults with all kinds of mental health issues, from, you know, the mundane, normal things that everybody experiences, anxiety, depression, to very severe and significant mental health issues like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. We also serve close to 200 children here at Epic. In South Shore, we have several different programs. We have a children's clinic in Freeport that serves about 450 children. And South Shore Child Guidance has been in existence for also about 60 years. We also have three school support programs. So those are satellite clinics at Uniondale High School, Freeport Middle School, Dodd Middle School in Freeport, and also in Roosevelt Middle School. South Shore also has a substance abuse program called the Care Center, serving adults, children, adolescents, family members of people struggling with substance abuse, and we have about 150 patients there. In addition to that, we have just opened our adult mental health clinic, and we opened in January, and there's been such a demand for services, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have already have 50 patients in that clinic. We have the Nassau County Mobile Crisis Team So we are working with Nassau County and the state field office of OMH, and we have right now we have 8 mobile crisis team workers who go into any situation in Nassau County to help ameliorate any kinds of behavioral health crises. We have been working in conjunction with the police department, and with police reform, we are going to be adding another 5 teams, so another 10 clinicians who will be able to assist with 911 calls for behavioral health to provide the really important mental health perspective on these 911 calls, and to assist the police in all of these calls and contacts from people in the community.
Well, this is important. I mean, there's a couple of things that you just brought up that you took my questions away from me, because we were going to talk about some of the grants you got. And one of the grants was about from your mobile clinic. Is that what it is?
Well, it's not a mobile clinic exactly, Ron. What it is it's the Nassau County Mobile Crisis Team.
Right.
So what the clinicians do, they're seated right now at the County Department of Social Services, and calls come in. There's a new Nassau County talk line. It's 227-TALK. And anybody in the county who has any kind of a problem can call this line, and they will be connected to a social worker who will assist them. If it's a crisis that's happening in the community, they will transfer the call to the mobile crisis team. And the mobile crisis team will assess the situation. They'll go out to the family or to the individual anywhere in Nassau County and help them, whether it's to connect them to other services, to calm the situation and help them manage, or whether it's to have them get a psychiatric evaluation. So, and then through this new collaboration with the police department, our contract has been expanded so that we can hire an additional 5 teams or 10 more social workers to help. So this is a very exciting.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, we need social workers badly, it seems like. I mean, we were the other day when I was talking to Shari, we were talking about New York City is going to hire 600 social workers, because anybody who goes into the public schools is going to have to clear some type of mental health program first or something like that. And are there enough social workers out there?
No, right, not right now. We're finding this incredible demand for services. And, the mental health field has really been operating on a shoestring budget. And the need for services right now is just through the roof. People are really experiencing incredible stress and anxiety and depression, as Shari was mentioning earlier. And there's really not enough clinicians.
I just want to add, Ron, about the clinicians going into the schools in New York City. It's such great news, and I'm really hoping that Epic and South Shore can also be very helpful to the schools in and around our district. We have been trying to offer services, whether they be virtual or in person, to help the students, the parents of the students, and the staff who really have more issues to handle around mental health than they are trained to do. So we are offering services to help the students, parents, and staff through this particularly difficult time. We send them articles that we ourselves put together that we're hoping will help, and we are offering to do some virtual workshops to offer interventions and also, be aware of the signs to look for people who are struggling.
Well, you talked to the other day about the three school districts, Roosevelt, Uniondale, and Freeport, and how tough it is with those schools, and that you really want to get in there to help.
Yes.
So I want to mention we have another program that is very important and is also helping children and families, and that's our home-based crisis intervention program and our CFTSS program. And this is another program that, in conjunction with our school support programs, will help families stabilize crises by going into their homes. So these are other services for, you know, for the people in Nassau County. And those services are free, as is the mobile crisis team.
You know, I wanted to talk about the police a little bit because it's so important to have a collaboration with the police department with mental health because of the way they've treated mental health in the past, because they didn't understand how to deal with the mental health patients.
Right. So I think that you know, throughout the country, we're seeing examples of that. And, you know, we've had a very good relationship with the police department in Nassau County. And this is an extension of that. And I think the mobile crisis team can really be helpful to the police. There are many situations where the police do not have to respond to a call. And, in fact, the presence of the police can really, you know, frighten people.
Oh, absolutely,
and exacerbate the problem. So if a caller is, you know, if there's no threat of violence or danger to themselves or somebody else, the mobile crisis, and it does not require an immediate response. The police are great. They can get there within minutes.
But if you call 911, what happens? It automatically gets the police right there. So right.
Working with the 911 operators and their communications bureau on assessing those calls that do not require that immediate police response. That can wait a half an hour or an hour. That you know, that it's stable enough that the team can go out and assess and provide services and treatment. So very frequently, those are you know, calls. People don't know there's a Nassau County talk line, which is 227 talk, or 227-8255. If they have a need, they can call that number. The problem is right now
they don't know that number.
They don't know that.
It's something that they really need to promote, that number.
That's actually one of the things, Ron, that came out of the police reform, that the county is going to really be promoting that line. So people know if they have a non-immediate crisis that can wait, you know, between 30 minutes and an hour or two, they can call that line and get services. So that's something that you're absolutely right. The county is planning to promote that.
Well, let's talk about the mental health patient. I mean, when you hear the media classify, oh, it's a mental health situation, or he has, I mean, there's so many different levels of mental health. I mean, how can we make it more aware of the different types of people that are affected with mental health?
Well, I think we're all affected by mental health.
Right.
Right. I mean, this is.
So they could say it's a mental health situation, and it could be any of us.
Right. Exactly.
Right. But I do think that there are some, you know, people with mental health issues that might appear to be scary to those who don't have that understanding and that knowledge. And hopefully, you know, if social workers can work with the police officers, they can help educate around that and prevent further violence and loss of life. Because sometimes people will appear threatening, and they're really not. And it's important that people who are responding to them understand that they are not, you know, somebody to fear, but we need to just help de-escalate and calm the situation as opposed to, you know, feel threatened and draw weapons when it's really not needed.
And I think the beauty of the mobile crisis team is that these are trained clinicians. They understand mental illness. They understand, you know, the variety of problems that human beings can experience, and they are trained to de-escalate and assess. And if a person needs to be seen by a psychiatrist or a psychiatric nurse practitioner, they can facilitate that. They can make that transfer to the hospital.
Well, you know, when you first started talking and you said that there were 50 people already, you know, more trying to get in and get help, which is based on the COVID situation and how tough it was for everyone. People living in a house with three people or four people and not being able to leave. We know how those situations are. And with somebody who has mental health, it's probably exacerbated many, many times. You have been able to keep in touch with the people that have mental health that would normally go to the clinic. You have social workers that would be calling them and using the virtual way of getting in touch with them rather than them coming into your offices. How has that been?
Well, you know, it was actually very surprising when COVID first hit and we had to all work remotely, and the patients were no longer able to come into the offices. It's amazing how quickly patients and therapists adapted to telehealth modalities, whether it was a Zoom call or a telephone call. People really responded very quickly, and we were able to provide the services. There was really almost no gap in services for mental health.
Yeah, it was a very seamless transition. So we were able to provide IT assistance to the clinicians who needed it, and they were able to make contact with their patients right away and assume their sessions. And the patients have been really receptive to that. Very appreciative of it. You know, in fact, when people are so isolated now, I mean, that's a big issue. It really could be life-saving and invaluable to know that somebody is going to call you every week and be supportive. And for people who are in more concerning situations, meaning, you know, children whose parents are abusing substances, when there's domestic violence in the house. Those kind of situations, you know, when kids went to school, they had a break from that. They saw their friends. They saw teachers who were supports in their lives. When, you know, women who were the victim of domestic violence went to work, they could get support from their coworkers. But now when, you know, people were stuck at home in environments that are very frightening and dangerous, it's all the more important to have someone reach out to them regularly, see how they're doing, and offer support.
And I think that, you know, the state agencies and New York State responded also quickly in relaxing the guidelines for telehealth. And we are really hoping that those relaxations will become permanent law, so that we'll be able to continue offering telehealth where it's appropriate. And I'm very hopeful that more money will be funded to the clinics to enhance our rates, so that we can hire more staff, because the field has really been gutted. The money has been, you know, taken away from our field for years, and we just don't have the staff to contend with a crisis like this. You know, the pandemic has put incredible strain on our communities, and we need the ability to hire more people.
And you know, just to add to what Jen has just said, that if anything, the pandemic has really showed us the importance of having therapists, having clinicians in your life when people are going through a really rough time. And if you have, you know, full-time clinicians who are at the clinic all the time and, you know, it is, they're loyal to the clinic, then the patients don't have to go through what often can be frequent turnover. And, you know, you really do want to offer stable help so that patients don't have to go through changes like that once they have a relationship established.
So I think, you know, what we're really talking about is that because the funding has been so drastically cut in behavioral health, we've had to hire fee-for-service or part-time clinicians.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back and continue this in a few minutes. You're listening to The Nonprofit Voice with Epic Long Island and Marketing Works.